Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back. As always, it's good to have you here on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midget production. And we have a very special guest, a gentleman who's been with us before, Ken Roman out of New York. And Ken has written a new book. It's one worth picking up. It's called The King of Madison Avenue. Ken is, by the way, the former chairman and CEO of Ogilvy Mather. And basically, beyond that title, it's David Ogilvy and the making of modern advertising. So we'll get a chance to talk with Ken here in just a moment. And know you're going to love that. He's always a great guest, and I hope you get a chance to check out the book as well. Here momentarily, Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, and PR heads need to reputate. They need to reputate. Yeah. I mean, some PR heads don't know what that means, but that's fine. So hopefully you're going to learn something today. Gene Bliss a little bit later on this hour. And basically, deliver a closing memory is what she's suggesting. And we'll find out what that's all about, too, as well. But Ken and all of these other great things make this show perfectly worthwhile sticking around. I mean, the way we package it, you can probably listen to it on a podcast if you wanted to in a commute to and from work tomorrow or something, or share it with a friend. We'd like you to do that too. Here's something, you know, Brad, we have cable companies who can kind of target an audience with a message, but basically what they're suggesting here, and this is out of the Times, New York Times, it says, the advertisers dream of sending a particular commercial to a specific consumer, not necessarily just a zip code or something like that, is one step closer to reality. Cablevision Systems plans to announce the largest project yet of using targeted advertising on television. Beginning with 500,000 homes in Brooklyn, the Bronx, and some Jersey areas, Cablevision will use its targeting technology to route ads to specific households based on data, income, ethnicity, gender, or whether the homeowner has children or pets. And I can tell you, with children or pets, your income is not good. Okay?
True.
money doesn't go as far there. But isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
well, so now you're looking at a specific household getting a specific commercial right at them. What a cool idea.
Yeah,
huh?
They have all the data anyway, so it's, you know, looking at that set-top box and sending a message differently to you than for me, because, for example, you're a golfer, I'm not. I do things that you don't. You do things that I don't. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I would not. You know, they'd waste their money having a golf ad to me, but they'd, you know, it would be very valuable to you. Interesting. You know, Martha Stewart's not been in the mail news lately. And
no, she hasn't. Why is that?
Well, I don't know. I guess she's certainly not because of her stock value being up at her company, but. That's true, of course, across the board. But Martha Stewart Living is broadening its coverage to include beauty, travel, and fashion as it tries to boost its appeal with advertisers in those categories. With the April issue, Living will introduce a fashion department as well as a health and beauty column. Ray, the magazine also will begin running an occasional personal travel column, which I thought was interesting, specifically by Martha Stewart, highlighting various prisons from around the world, I suppose. No, not really. this year through March, Living's pages declined 36.8% with drug, food, and retail ads softening, while beauty ads have shown signs of resilience in the current downturn. The travel and fashion both categories have been cutting back, and this year through March, ads in the travel magazines were down 22% as well. So I don't like to. We're trying to make it our policy this year to not talk negatively. At least we have to throw those in every once in a while. But I thought it was interesting that Martha Stewart's broadening their coverage to include travel. I mean, that's pretty smart, I think, on their part. And I think a lot of travel advertisers might be interested in in riding along with that, as long as Martha can. I'm surprised that Martha's doing the column, frankly. I thought they'd go out and get a travel writer as opposed to Martha.
She's been around.
Yeah.
Rahway, little time at San Quentin.
That's true.
You know, so
well,
she,
you know,
she's been there.
Famous
she's been
prisons
there.
And famous CEOs they've housed or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. You ever been by Rahway?
No.
In New Jersey?
No.
You just keep going. Keep going. Not that I've been there. Okay.
Right.
Let's check in with Shamin Abbas here on The Advertising Show. Now we're all going to learn, boys and girls, how to reputate. Please be seated.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Go forth and reputate was the command of the Corporate VP of Public Affairs and Corporate Communications at Giant Johnson & Johnson to the attendees of its Global Communications Conference. Reputation, he asserted, is not a noun but a verb, something that is done, not something that has stuff done for it, to it, or around it. He claimed that there are three steps to reputating. Be sure people understand who you are and what you stand for. Do things right and be caught doing them right. While this was a speech directed at the internal communications department members, it has resonance for those of us who work as outside PR consultants. As I've said before, an effective PR firm comes to know the internal workings and goals of its clients and acquires some of the exact same fire about the business its principals feel. We need to spot and seize opportunities for our clients and bring them ideas that fit who they are and what they wish to accomplish. Don't wait for mandates. Create them. Bring information to your client. Don't just push it out. There will be releases and pitches dictated by events in your client's business and demands of those steering the ship to convey certain messages. But PR firms need to be out there on the edge, spotting trends, combing through the chatter, letting your client know what's possible and what is perhaps an idea that should be tabled. This isn't about getting your firm's name out there in front of potential clients. It's about never becoming complacent with any client, stepping up with ideas, being accountable, and embracing the challenge of your clients to take risks. As an op-ed author in PR Week said on this topic, be a verb, not a noun.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thank you, Shamin Abbas, on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Ken Roman is in our virtual green room. I think it's blue, but it doesn't really matter, does it? Former chairman, CEO of Ogilvy & Mather Worldwide, and a highly regarded advertising and communications firm founded by David Ogilvy. He joined the agency 1963 at the young age of, I think it was about 32.
12.
Or,
he
no,
was 12.
12, was
he?
He
worked
okay.
in the mailroom.
Assistant account executive and served as chairman from 85 to 89. In the 26 years of the company, he helped build the business of major clients, including American Express, Unilever, Kimberly-Clark, General Foods, and grew Ogilvy & Mather's global network and creative reputation. Before O&M, he worked in several corporate communications positions. He's never had been a not busy kind of a guy.
Right.
And that continues to this date with a brand new book, too, as well, that we're going to talk about today. It's called The King of Madison Avenue, David Ogilvy and the Making of Modern Advertising. This is a really cool book. We'll find out more about it in just a moment here at The Advertising Show.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
Stronger than dirt. Welcome back to The Advertising Show. Ray Schillings, Brad Forsythe, and a special guest out of New York is no stranger to the show. He's been here before, and we're so happy to have him back. Ken Roman, as we talked about, a brand new book and a whole bunch of great things going on in his life. Ken, it is always a pleasure to have you here at The Advertising Show.
Happy to be back, Brad.
Yeah, Ken, and by the way, we are so honored to have you as our guest today, as you were a few years back. You were a great interview, and we're going to see if we can't top that today. You worked with David Ogilvy himself for 26 years. Curious, in doing research for your book, Ken, any surprises?
No, there were no surprises, really. I'll tell you, David was terrific at telling his own story. He told it in three books. He told it in many interviews. He told it in articles. So we all kind of knew the story. But I found, as I went on, that it was largely the same, but not quite. David was an actor. And he embellished his story from time to time. Like an actor, he wanted to give himself better lines. For example, he always said, he went to Oxford. He said, I failed every exam. I was sent down. It was the worst mistake of my life. Well, I went to Oxford, and I went through the files, and he never failed any exams. There's no evidence he was sent down, but say he dropped out, which is what he did, that's not as good a line as saying, I was sent down. And he did this over and over again, and the basic story was there, but not quite.
So if a lot, as you have said, has already been written by Ogilvy himself, what was your objective when you set out to write the book? Did you have something in mind?
I had three very clear objectives. Well, can I just tell you for a second how this thing started?
Sure.
It's very interesting.
Please.
Shortly after I got to the agency, I mean, I was 32 years old, and I was a real junior, and he was 52, and he was famous, and he sends this letter to one of my clients. And client's design department had come up with a campaign, and he hated the campaign. Hated it. So he wrote him a two-page letter. I got a copy and said, it's bad for this reason. Listed eight reasons. And the last reason was, you say the campaign is different. Well, you could take a cow and remove the udder, and it would be different. But it wouldn't produce milk. So I looked at that letter. What am I going to do with this? Can't throw it away, so I put it in my drawer, and when I left after 26 years, I had a whole file of these letters. Everybody had those files. So sometime later, I had no intention of writing this book. I didn't start that way, but I looked at all these papers that I'd accumulated all over those years, and I said, I wonder if there's a book there, because he has told this story so many times. And I decided there were three things I could do. The first was to bring him alive as this larger-than-life personality. And the second thing was to place him in advertising history. And the third is to give a sense of some of the ways he built this institution, because at the end of the day, David, while he's known as a great creative guy, was really an instinctive leader. And that's the thing that I really tried to bring out in this book. He built he's an institution builder.
And I think you've done an outstanding job of giving some great insights to David Ogilvy through firsthand stories that you tell in the book. Why do you think, to a large extent still today, the most famous ad man in the world is David Ogilvy?
Well, he was a great self-promoter. He was a marvelous self-promoter. I mean, I told you he was a bit of an actor. He dressed for his parts. He would show up at fancy. He would show up sometime with a long black cape, or he showed up at a fancy dress event wearing a kilt, and he'd say, but if you can't advertise yourself, how can you advertise for your clients? So he was dramatic in his persona, but he was very quotable. You know, the consumer is not a moron. She's your wife. Don't insult her intelligence.
Right.
He wouldn't lie to your wife. Don't lie to mine. But then he wrote this book called Confessions of an Advertising Man, which made him world famous. It is still it's still in print, 50 years later, And it's the only book most people outside the business have ever read. So he did these things with his persona, in his quotes, in his speeches, in his writings, and he was terrific at it. It wasn't his ads that made him famous, although they made him the most talked about person on Madison Avenue shortly after he arrived. It's the other stuff he did.
So the ability to promote himself and to really paint pictures and words and colors and tell stories really enabled him to be a great ad guy.
He was a marvelous guy at that.
So in a minute or so we have left in this segment, as you describe the story of David Ogilvy and paint the picture of his persona, I'm envisioning a very important role he must have played in new business acquisitions and presentations.
He was magnificent in new business. He really threw himself into that. He was charming. He knew how to do it. He saw it as the most important thing he could do, after he had stopped writing all these ads. But he was brilliant at new business, and he said, "I see the agency as a bunch of birds, little baby birds in a nest, and they're waiting for me to come in and put the worm down there in their beaks." But he really was dogged at that, but he didn't just charm them; he went after them thoughtfully. Just one quick example.
Sure.
He got these smaller accounts, Hathaway, Schweppes, Rolls-Royce, but he wanted to be a big agency, and to get that, he needed big accounts, and to get accounts, he needed big people. So he went out and he cultivated people. He got Esty Stowell from Benton & Bowles, who was respected by General Foods, to come in as an executive vice president, and they won the Maxwell House business and all of General Foods, which became the largest account in the world. He pursued American Express through Howard Clark, the chairman's wife. He was on the board of Lincoln Center campaign with her. He got other campaigns by finding out how to get to that person and cultivating them. And then in the presentation, he was dramatic, charming, and persuasive.
It's kind of a nice thing to be all wrapped up into one kind of person, isn't it? Our very special guest is Ken Roman today out of New York. Ken is, of course, an old friend of the advertising show and has been with us before. But this time around, it's The King of Madison Avenue, a brand new book out by Ken with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Stay with us. There's more.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
Welcome back. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show with our very special guest, Ken Roman out of New York. Ken is the author of a brand new book called The King of Madison Avenue. And if I sing, now hopefully I can sing this okay, that you can actually understand this or make it happen. It's bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop.
Maxwell House.
Yeah. And I didn't even have to say the words, did I?
Well done.
Thank you very much. Almost on key.
That commercial ran for 6 years.
Wow. And it's still in our heads as being something very pertinent. How about that? Anyway, Ken, good to have you here. Welcome back.
I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, Ken, what do you think David Ogilvy would think of the Emmy Award-winning Mad Men, AMC's new TV hit show?
Well, you know, a lot of reviews have said called him the original Mad Men. And, he would have, I'll tell you exactly what he would think of it. He would love the attention, but he would hate the title. And he wasn't anything like the Mad Men of that period. He was much larger than that. But the show that would interest him right now and would really get his goat is another show called Trust Me that just went on. I mean, Mad Men is a series that happens to be based in an advertising agency, but there's very little advertising going on.
Mm-hmm.
But trust me, I mean, it could be about lawyers or accountants, but ad men are more interesting. Trust me, takes place in an advertising agency, and one of the key scenes, right at the first episode, the president of the agency walks into the creative, into the office of the creative team and said, "Now look, if you don't win more awards, you're fired." Well, that was his lifelong, his last campaign is to get advertising itself, and his last great event was to attack the creative awards that he thought were distorting the business. And he went on giving this speech called, "There's a disease called entertainment that's affecting our business." In that show, trust me, in the creative director's office, what do you see on the wall behind him? Ads? No! You see little statuettes like Emmys, Cleos, and things like that, and one-show awards. It's everything he hated in the business, which was entertainment to win awards for themselves rather than building sales for the clients.
You know, sadly enough, for those that may not realize that, that office depiction is common throughout America, and I, for one, I know Ray feels the same way. Awards are great for egos, I suppose, but really don't do much for our business in terms of creating advertising that delivers to clients' needs as opposed to agency needs. Let's talk a little bit about your book, Back to the Book Again. Arguably one of Ogilvy's greatest legacies, Ken, may have been his approach to advertising that assumed the intelligence of the consumer. You mentioned earlier the consumer is not a moron. She is your wife. Very, very famous quote attributed to David Ogilvy. How do you think his career as a salesman helped shape his views on advertising?
Well, they permeated the reviews. They permeated his views totally. He felt that you could have both effective advertising and advertising in good taste. And he said, "All of my ads, which all sold very well," talking about his own ads, "were always praised for their high class tenor." Now, to be fair about it, he didn't write a lot of packaged goods advertising. He wrote one packaged goods campaign, his best campaign, by his most effective sales campaign by far, was none of the ones I've mentioned. Hathaway, Schweppes. It was Dove.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lever Brothers came to him with a soap. It wasn't even a soap. It was a new product. They said, "This is the first neutral bar, pH neutral." He said, "Nobody's interested in that." So he went and he talked to the chemists. He did some research. He found out one of the ingredients was stearic acid, which is in cleansing creams that were popular at the time. So one quarter cleansing cream to make your, so it won't dry your skin, became the basis of a Dove campaign that is still growing. It is now the largest selling cleansing brand in the world. And that's the greatest success in that business is his. And he's not as recognized for that. He's always the man in the Hathaway shirt.
Yeah, or I think the Volkswagen or something like that. Ken Roman is our special guest. Ken has written a brand new book called The King of Madison Avenue. And we'll find out more about that as we continue our interview here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Good reason to stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising.
To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Welcome back and glad you're here. Hope you've had a chance to hear the first couple of segments of our interview today with Ken Roman. Out of New York, Ken, the author of The King of Madison Avenue, David, and the Making of a Modern Advertising. It's a Palgrave Macmillan publication, and it's available now. So, Ken, it's good to have you here on The Advertising Show.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, curious, what did Ogilvy...
You guys really read the book, too.
Well, we don't invite authors on unless we love their book, and if we love their book enough to invite them on, we try to do our homework and read the book, and gosh, you have a great subject. And interestingly, interesting to our listeners, we were mentioning off-air, to our surprise, this is the first real biography that's ever been written. I would say real. It's the only biography that's ever been written on David Ogilvy other than what he wrote about himself. And I think that was a surprise in itself. What did David Ogilvy think of contemporaries like Rosser Reeves and Leo Burnett and Bill Birnbach?
First of all, he had a remarkably good relationship with most of his contemporaries. He really brought a lot of civilization to the relationships in the business. He had a very complicated relationship with Rosser Reeves. When he first came, he studied at Rosser's feet. Rosser was famous for reality and advertising and the unique selling proposition. He was it was a student-mentor relationship. Later they became brothers-in-law. He married Rosser's sister-in-law. Mm. Then they became rivals, and a lot of people thought they were enemies. And finally, at the end, he went out of his way to praise Rosser and his contributions. So he had a complicated relationship. He he really respected Leo Burnett. And they even talked at one stage about possibly selling the agency or merging with the Burnett agency. But he said he never felt he could work quite as hard as Leo did. They had a deep mutual respect. I'd have to say that with Bill Birnbach, it was a little bit more cautious. He respected Birnbach's advertising, and he wrote him several letters complimenting him, but he really wasn't comfortable with the agency and the philosophy, which he didn't believe relied as much on research and results, which is what he really believed in. He thought they were more into pure creativity.
Yeah.
And Birnbach, you know, thought that David was more... driven by rules and things like that. So they never really had a close relationship, but there was mutual respect.
Yeah, so Ogilvy wasn't your big idea guy. Birnbach, of course, known for that. What do you think?
Look, David used to say, unless your campaign is based on a big idea, it will pass like a ship in the night.
Mm-hmm.
No, that isn't it. It was how they got to the big idea.
I see.
So he certainly believed in the big idea.
I got you. But it was more factual, research-based for Ogilvy.
Well, to some extent, yeah.
And what do you think is Ogilvy's most enduring contribution to the field of advertising, Ken?
There are three or four of them which in totality ended up making the business more professional. He brought the concept of brands into the business. He didn't invent it, but he put it on the map, possible brand image. He brought direct marketing into the mainstream of the business to the extent he's in the only general advertising man in the Direct Marketing Hall of Fame. And you can make the case that direct marketing is the spiritual parent of the Internet. He brought consumer research into the business for the development of advertising from his days working with George Gallup and made it more professional in that respect. He changed the compensation structure to make it more like lawyers and doctors and other professions, and the advertising business hated him for that because he took a lot of money out of the mm-hmm. business when the commission system went away. And the other thing is he's doing now that's really coming back is his emphasis on advertising that sells. To remind people of the purpose of advertising. So those were, I think, his big contributions. And he wrote a half a dozen great ads during a period of time, but that isn't why you'd write a book about him.
You know, our final question, Ken, you mentioned earlier on in the interview that you had a drawer full or a file full of Ogilvie's notes and letters that he had written to you. And at the end of your book, you have a collection of David's memos, letters, speeches, etc. Can you share with us what would be your all-time favorite piece of David Ogilvie literature that you have in the back of your book that you'd like to share with our audience?
We did a book for him called On His 75th Birthday, taking his best letters, memos, speeches, and putting them in a little book, and called it The Unpublished David Ogilvie. Mm-hmm. And he said it was my best birthday present ever. And then when I went through his papers, not just my papers, I have these my own papers, but I went through his papers at the Library of Congress, 30,000.
Wow.
And among other papers that I went through. But in the midst of all of this, I found all kinds of gems. And I put a bunch of them in the back of the book.
Mm-hmm.
They're interesting, they're instructive, they're funny, but think of this guy. He's building this agency, he's got these clients, he doesn't know if it's going to be a success or not. He's got the Schweppes campaign going. Now, Commander Whitehead is not just really was the president of Schweppes USA, he was also the model in the ads with his great red bushy beard.
Mm.
And by union rules, we had to pay him a model fee. So apparently Whitehead was always complaining about the model fee and wanted to approve the proofs, and Ogilvie was fighting about that. So in the middle of a busy day, when he's got all these other things going on, Ogilvie sits down and he writes two letters to Whitehead on the same day. One says, "Dear Dr. Jekyll, as the model in the ads, here's how we're going to handle a contract, and here's what the price is going to be, your model fee. And most models really don't approve the page proofs, and come on." And then on a separate letter, the same day, "Dear Mr. Hyde," again to Whitehead, "Dear Mr. Hyde, this fellow Whitehead, who's in this model in your ads, is holding us up, and unless you can tell him to approve the ads and get on with it, we're not going to have a campaign." Well, that just shows that as busy as he was, he had this sense of humor about the business, which made it so much fun working with him.
And you tell a great story as well, Ken. Congratulations on another great book here. It's called The King of Madison Avenue, David and the Making of Modern Advertising. Go find it and go read it. And, Ken, thank you again for being here at The Advertising Show.
Guys, fun.
Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth back with more here in just a moment.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean.
Welcome back. Our final segment of The Advertising healthy. Show with Ray Shillings and Brad
this
Forsyth. Thanks again
to
Ken Roman out of New York, author of The King of Madison Avenue. Go get the book. You'll enjoy it as much as we did. Amir Haq, Haq? Haq?
Haq.
Haq?
Haq.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
we know who he is.
We yeah, and you will after the show. He's also the head of strategy and analysis at Donut Wald, and we'll be having him as a very special guest on the show coming up next week here. So we hope you stay with us and get into next week as well. What do you?
Well, Ken was such a great guest. I thank him again for his second encore appearance at the advertising show. Yeah, very briefly, Ray. Amazon is
kind of like Alex Ben Block. He asked if he was now getting paid for this.
Yeah, right.
But not.
Amazon will begin selling e-books for reading on Apple's iPhone and the iPod Touch, which I happen to own, as you know, Ray.
Yeah.
And the internet retailer says that it's seen its own Kindle e-reader and the iPhone as complementary, and the people have been expecting. They're hoping to have people use the same system as their on their mobile phones to read books, which I think is a bit of a stretch myself, frankly. We'll happen to see. We'll wait and see how that works. I can't see myself reading a book on my mobile. Can you?
No, it's too small. But they have made. I saw this on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slate type thing. It's about. It's a little bit smaller than 8.5 by 11.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you can put. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the Kindle.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the Kindle.
Okay.
Amazon's Kindle. But they're trying to transfer this to other media, and I think on the iPhone and iPod Touch. Maybe.
Yeah.
I have it. I don't have a problem reading on the iPod Touch, but not large, long amounts. You know, small amounts we could use.
Vision would degrade rather rapidly.
Yeah.
We have a very special guest here, Gene Bliss, coming up now on the advertising show. Deliver a closing memory. How appropriate. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Newegg.com is the world's largest privately owned online retailer. They are like the mothership to technology fanatics, carrying a dizzying level of inventory to ensure that their customers can get what they want when they want it. At the core of Newegg.com's fast growth are their clear ideals. Their growth is to grow through fanaticism for their customer and the experience they deliver to them. And so once you've found the motherboard of your heart's desire and a flat-screen TV and checkout, Newegg.com makes sure that things stay between you and them. There are no pop-up ads from third-party vendors hoping you'll click and play and send a little more cash that way after you've finished your transaction with them. They want to be in control of their closing memory to customers. Have you spent your time thinking about your closing memory? The last memory your customers have of you is what will pull them back to you. Make a resolution to deliver what you want customers to remember after they say goodbye.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
That's Gene Bliss with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. Here's something that you might get a kick out of. I don't know. You go to the supermarket. General Mills, Target, basically playing on consumers' nostalgia. Retro designs of their youth appeal to stressed shoppers desiring comfort. Comfort's a good word for this time at the space. If food can be comforting, how about packaging? With consumers embracing old world classics like casseroles, some marketers are trying to get on the bandwagon by trotting out some old school style stuff as well. There's the cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs person that they're going to put back on the box.
Mm-hmm.
Honey Nut Cheerios, Lucky Charms, Cocoa Puffs, and Trix. And those things basically also, consumers with 5 proof of purchase labels, this is not a commercial, will be entitled to a free shirt at cerealware.com. So they're doing some really smart stuff there, too, tying it into new media as well, but bringing back some of the comforting old times.
My wife took me shopping the other day for those items, and I felt so nostalgic. I jumped into the basket, and she pushed me around as I grabbed those various cereals off of the shelf. I would have sat in that little chair.
Yeah.
Not quite big enough, but
no,
I did sit in the basket itself because I was a little larger size of, you know, then when you get of a size that you can't fit into the little straddle area up there, you always move to the basket.
That's true. That's why Sam's created those huge carts.
Costco has them. They as well. They're good.
That's another thing. So you can put more stuff in them is what they can do.
Of course.
Buy more than you need. Go right ahead. Mm-hmm. Have a nice day.
Right.
The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at edage.com. and by our friends at Captivate Network. You can visit them at Captivate.com. A great show today. As always, we deliver, and the same for coming up next week as well, too. So check us out, and be sure to tell your friends about The Advertising Show, too. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.